For homeless men and women in Boston, this has been a particularly brutal winter. In the last 2 weeks, one man who lives on the streets lost a leg below the knee to frostbite. A second man is in the hospital now and will need a partial leg amputation. Despite the risks, men and women slept on city streets last night, another night below freezing.
You want to come in for a couple hours?
No, it's okay.
You sure?
Yep, I'm all set. Thank you.
That is Paul, who doesn't offer his last name and sleeps outside on a concrete slab in front of a store in downtown Crossing, Boston. He's one of the men and women of Boston who rarely go to a shelter and are among those called chronically homeless. WBUR's Martha Biebinger spent a night with outreach workers at the Pine Street Inn in Boston as they drove a van through the streets of downtown Boston trying to persuade Paul and others to come in for the night.
Or at least keep them alive.
We got soups, hot chocolate, oatmeal, and it always helps, especially in these conditions. Get some warm liquid into your body.
Nelson Bennett, outreach van supervisor, sits in the back on a pile of blankets. Lyndia Downey, who runs Pine Street Inn, is next to him.
Oh, we go through on a night like this, 30 blankets, 40 blankets, depending on how many people we see.
They catch a flicker of movement, and the van pulls over on Winter Street. A young man in a light coat emerges from a brick alley.
James?
Hey.
Going in tonight?
No.
The van crew know most of the people they see by name. James says his girlfriend was assaulted at one of the shelters and won't go back, so he's staying out with her. He searches through a pile of ripped boxes to build their bed. It's three layers of cardboard pushed up against a glass office front with a short wall around the sides.
I kind of go a little overboard with it. I don't want any of the rodents and whatnot getting in.
Do you have to collect this stuff every night, or you keep it someplace?
No, I collect new pieces every night, and then in the morning I throw them away, and every night, yeah. Once you get in this situation, it's like impossible. I have my own issues up here. I've had a lot happen, so it's a long story. It really is. Nobody wants to hear me cry, so.
Hey, where do you guys stay during the day?
James pinches his hands and shuffles his feet to stave off frostbite while Downey gets down to business. Has James applied for housing? Yes, he says, but he's discouraged.
You know, if you don't have kids, if you don't have a disability, they make it seem like you can never get housing. I can't even explain to you how hopeless it is, how hopeless I feel sometimes. My dream is to be able to come home from work again, just fall back on the couch and watch TV and just mind my business, and I feel like it's never going to happen.
So, do you have a cell phone?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Do you have your numbers?
Downey takes information for Pine Street's daytime street team. Bennett hands James a blanket, gloves, and hot chocolate.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
At this hour, around midnight, the streets are empty except for a few garbage trucks, taxis, and Pine Street's van.
Soup? You got broth? Yeah, please.
Cindy sits up against a gray stone wall that frames a doorway to Macy's. She and her husband Carl are among three couples who claim the store's sheltered entrances every night in snow, sleet, and bitter winds.
Because we're married and we stay together.
We sleep together.
There needs to be shelters where married people can get on their feet as well.
Cindy says she sleeps with one eye open. A few nights ago, someone took one of the couple's blankets.
But we manage. Body heat, love, big word, strength.
Tell them to grab us a blanket.
Pine Street hands out more than 60 blankets on cold nights between two vans, one that circles downtown, and another that runs through the Back Bay into Brighton and Chestnut Hill. A handful of people refuse any help.
This guy won't talk to us.
Bennett walks up to two cocooned figures and stands, watching for the slightest sign of life.
We'll make sure they're okay, they're breathing, the blankets are moving, and we'll leave them alone.
On this night, the temperature has dropped to 13 degrees, and there's a biting wind.
Oh, you guys are great. Thanks. Don't tell me from behind.
Another man named James, a gambler, stops at the van looking for food.
Caught on to how to beat the casino with their own games.
Hot water on it in the morning.
$400 or $500 a week guaranteed, so it's a no-lose game.
It's these guys Downey worries about the most, the ones who aren't speaking rationally, aren't dressed for the cold, and who aren't suicidal but show signs of mental illness.
He lives in what I call no man's land. because if you're a danger to yourself, there's a possibility of some kind of commitment or guardianship. But if you're not, your options are pretty limited. You know, in some ways, the disease stops you from getting treatment. So it's an odd paradox for people.
Hey, boss.
Good.
Are you going in tonight?
Yeah.
Finally, the crew finds a man willing to come in off the street. Suvas says he had a strategy for the night.
I was actually planning to just walk around, because sleeping can get a little tough and cold. So probably like 30-minute lay down, and then you gotta start walking again.
But now he's losing feeling in his legs.
If you're homeless, just sometimes you just want to lose the crowd to sort of feel a little more reassured about who I am and whatnot. But a lot of times it doesn't really do justice to the body. You have to compromise one way or another.
As the van nears Chinatown, it's swarmed by almost a dozen men and women in their late teens or 20s.
Yeah, you want some gloves, Rosario? Okay. So how many more? Wait a minute. Hold on. You want a camera?
The crew runs out of gloves and blankets, so they head back to Pine Street Inn to restock.
Normally, we don't get flooded like that in the winter where there's all those people.
Jill Fortuna works full-time on the van. She says many of these young people aren't regulars and may just be passing through Boston. Downey frowns.
There, but it's worrisome to see kids that young out there, I will say that.
Back at Pine Street, Fortuna unlocks the door to a metal storage container. Bennett points a flashlight at the labels on a stack of boxes. He rips open the boxes to reveal dozens of flat packages wrapped in red and green snowman Christmas paper.
Let's hope there's gloves in here.
There's soap.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah. Going through gloves like crazy because it's been so cold.
The restocked van heads toward North Station. It's closed, but four teenagers huddle near the entrance. Fortuna recognizes them.
They're a bunch of young kids that just recently showed up. They'll make a big, huge bed, and there's like four or five of them that sleep there.
What's your name?
The teenagers file forward, giving information for Pine Street's database of clients. One young woman, Marie, asks for soup and blankets, but says she'd rather sleep outside than go in.
I don't know. I've been doing it for a few years. It doesn't really bother me. Just bundle up and all that jazz.
Marie shrugs and walks away as a man steps forward, saying he can't take it anymore.
The temperature, the wind, there's no public restrooms.
Michael just got out of prison on a cocaine conviction.
And come to find out, the lady that tested my drugs, you know, said the drugs were real. And Dugan, yeah. So now I come home, and it's like, there's no housing.
Michael says he doesn't like shelters because the rules seem to change depending on who's in charge.
I really think about going back to jail. Because it's like, I know what to expect. I expect to be in a cell with a bed, a toilet, two inmates, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's simple.
Night, guys. Thank you. God bless you.
As the van drops Michael at Pine Street, the inn's director, Lyndia Downey, imagines a night when there won't be anyone sleeping on the streets and shelters won't be crowded. It would take about 2,000 new rooms, which Downey says research shows would pay for themselves over time.
Because the expensive emergency service numbers go down, and that offsets any new housing dollars. And doing nothing for chronically homeless people costs more money than putting them in supportive housing.
The Patrick administration seems to agree. It expects to release details of a social investment project this spring aimed at reducing the number of Cindy's, James's, Suvas's, and Michael's who spend nights on the street, even in the dead of winter. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.